Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to the NutraMedical Report. We have John W. Spring here, and I guess today we're going to focus on a very interesting aspect of the situation that's going on with North Korea. While they have the Olympics, is the lack of intelligence demonstrated by behavior on the part of the Trump-Pence government and their intel agencies to indicate they don't really fully understand the nature of the situation right now and the danger, which is, by the way, we had Jason Burgess on from CENTCOM back about 5 months ago now. That actually showed very clearly that now almost approaching 3 years where the North Koreans could strike anywhere in the continental United States or our allies with missiles that can carry a nuclear weapon, an EMP attack, or a chemical or biological weapon. And we have to understand that it's not just North Korea alone. North Korea has been helped by various agencies and individuals inside China, Russia, and elsewhere. The government are starting to scramble to see if they can kind of sanction those people in their bank accounts. But it's not enough. And the main thing that we want to talk about today, John, is you don't yet have a direct response from the Trump administration, but I hope they are listening because they're demonstrating by their behavior. For example, I would not have put Kim Jong-un, Kim Bae-sung, in the same box as Mike Pence, especially when he didn't, quote, shake hands with her. She is the Intel and Agitation Agency director that suppresses people or puts them into prison. So she didn't take things over by smiling and taking over the limelight from Pence. But on the other hand, we're only going to get this sorted out if we come to a realization that, number one, that we don't know the extreme danger we're under now, number one, for the urgency in settling this problem, and number two, we haven't had full disclosure of whether or not America has defenses for South Korea, for Seoul, in artillery range of 18,000 tube rockets, or the danger to their own people, or even China. Because you have to understand, this is a rogue regime, and even Chinese cities are in danger of being hit by North Korea. I mean, this is not just limited to Japan and maybe South Korea, or America, and Guam, which is 220,000 Americans within striking, relatively short striking distance from Pyongyang or their missile silos in eastern North Korea. So what are the particulars about the intel that's shown by their behavior? They're really strongly deficient in their intel agencies. Their I squared two, their intelligence about intelligence quotient, isn't very good, is it?
No, it isn't. And this is what bothers me the most, Dr. Deagle. Unless you have good intelligence, you cannot behave or react in an logical manner. Of course, the same was true during a year before the Cuban Missile Crisis. When John F. Kennedy was president, he had extremely poor intelligence as well. And it's just been an ongoing thing. It has not improved. In all probability, it's declined somewhat since the early 1960s. And we cannot assume, because these people are holding high offices, that they really know that much or are given that much intelligence information to really cogitate about or to contemplate when they make their decisions. And we can try as hard as we can to get across a plan for a deal with North Korea, but unless the Trump administration is aware of the real danger that exists now, they're in all probability not going to be inclined to be very receptive to such a plan or a proposal at this time. So this is what we are facing, Dr. Deagle. And furthermore, if it were possible for us to have clued Vice President Mike Pence in beforehand, what actually exists, he could have responded in a far more intelligent manner in his dealings with the various VIPs when he was at the Winter Olympics in South Korea just a few days ago.
Right. And so the first plan is, number one, let's see if I can summarize it. Number one, our government doesn't realize how immediate the danger is. Number two, they're not putting on the table specifically what our counter-response, military response would be to Kim Jong-un and how devastating it would be, not just to North Korea, because an attack against North Korea is an attack on China. It's an attack where a counterattack by China will strike Tokyo and Japan, one of the largest economies on the planet. It's an attack on Guam, 220,000 American citizens, and almost certainly will vaporize in an atomic cloud. Yes. It's an attack on American cities, which can take as little as 26 minutes to strike even the east coast of the United States. It's an attack where our missile defense is extremely woefully inefficient. And we're not being honest about this. In fact, I have my own intelligence contacts that when that so-called missile that was supposedly coming in Hawaii, they thought it was a false flag and it didn't occur and there was no missile. Not true. There was a missile, but it wasn't fired from North Korea. It was fired by us or our allies, and it was a test of our missile defense systems, and we did take it down. But a week later, we tried another missile, and we failed. The fact is, they vilified this person who was there, but their security technology and procedures are very similar to what they have at NORAD or U.S. Missile Defense Command. So I don't know why they thought they can get away with this, but the fact is, we don't have missile defense. Now,
we don't.
This is a very objectively stark reality. Now, the Chinese know, the only reason why the Chinese and the Russians haven't over the Cold War attacked us is because they're afraid that we have even more devastating weapons, not only here but in space, which we do. So the only thing restraining them is the fact that we would cause absolute annihilation. Now, the Chinese don't want to see 250 to 300 million Chinese in their, we call dragon cities along the coast, where all the manufacturing occurs, disappear in atomic vapor. Because our ally, Japan, is armed to the eyeballs with it's a third nuclear power. Not Israel, it's Japan. And Japan has been sequestering, like with the Okimaru, all the nuclear materials from the former Soviet Union. They were taken. Remember, the environmental people and Greenpeace were actually tracking the travel of the Okimaru, bringing all these nuclear materials from former Soviet reactors to Japan. And even reactor number three, the MOX reactor at Fukushima Daiichi, was a clear violation of previous treaties and shows they're making plutonium detonators for warheads. Now, I took care of the employees working at the Savannah River plant. After they shut down Hanford, it was the only reactor site in America making nuclear warhead detonators. So I know everything. I don't know some of the stuff. I know all of it. And the scary thing to me is that the powers that be aren't listening to people like me who are on the inside or whistleblowers. What they do is they compartmentalize all the different sub-compartments of each agency in the government, and they don't talk to each other. And our elected officials like the president and vice president and the Congress and Senate don't know this about these things, even though the intel agencies should be telling them. They're not. They're lying to them. Just like this latest thing with the DOJ and the CIA with Clapper and Brennan and so on, and the FBI, they don't talk to each other except to lie to each other. It's very disgusting, and it puts us in danger, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And here's another factor that is not brought up. We're placing sanctions on North Korea.
Right.
they appear to be being carried out reasonably well at this stage. I know there's some cheating by Russia and China and Taiwan and other sources, but
right.
overall, the sanctions are relatively tight on North Korea this time.
Right.
And what you need to understand, if indeed Washington is completely ignorant of North Korea's current capability to keep them on hold, basically, with all of these nuclear weapons at their disposal, which can be launched at any moment and arrive in less than 35 minutes in any part of the United States and
right.
beyond.
Right.
So...
And by the way, it's not just North Korea. This is this year's proliferation year. It's North Korea. It's right now Iran has tried to move missile batteries over the weekend into Syria that had this recent conflict, the first one in history between Israel, Iran, and Russia. Even a Russian battle tank was taken out by an Israeli jet. Summary, basically, you're offering a business plan to North Korea. I think this is the way it'll actually work, rather, because in the past, if you gave them money, they promised, like under Bill Clinton, that they would stop. I think we gave $5 billion to them to denuclearize back under Bill Clinton. It didn't work. I don't think a condition of talking is that they have to denuclearize. I think what they should do is we should not have a cent transferred, but we should start with, number one, on-site inspections
yeah.
by not just the United States, by an international commission from the United Nations. Then, once we agree to on-site inspections, then we have a basis to start talking business and other things. What we have to understand also, we should have as part of those talks, other countries in Asia, Vietnam, Taiwan, Japan, South Korea, Philippines, all of them in the sphere of the danger of a local nuclear war there. Because if a nuclear war happens and we strike nations like China, the radiation is going to completely poison the area, locally in the area around Asia.
Yes.
Most people don't realize that, for example, if we hit the Bushehr reactor, and I belong to the group of atomic scientists for decades now, the amount of radiation is going to cross Myanmar, which used to be called Burma, and it'll cross all the way through to the primary population centers in China. They'll get blasted to hell with radiation just from us striking the Bushehr reactor. So nobody's going to get off scot-free from any kind of conflict here. And the people that are in the most danger right now are the Chinese. The Chinese have been playing this double game of, we want to be your best friend, your worst enemy. And we also see the same thing from the Koreans. They want to be a pussycat and show their sister off smiling at the same box as Pence. At the same time, there's this big North Korean tiger with nuclear weapons aimed at our throat. Now, at some point, I think it'll take probably two terms of Donald Trump, we will have missile defense for us and our allies, and nuclear war, missile war, will be obsolete. Now, the primary thing that I think is a trigger point has nothing to do with what's going on the ground. It's what's going to happen in space. For the last 10 years, the Chinese have been working on Keller satellites, and they got themselves into a lot of trouble because they actually blew up a couple satellites and created a lot of debris in near space. So putting up another satellite of any kind, telecommunications, whatever, is more dangerous because all these shards are flying around 30 to 40,000 miles an hour, the size of a pea or a fist, and they can punch through your very expensive satellite and tear it to pieces.
Yes.
So the real danger here is if the Chinese succeed in deploying truly dangerous plasma or laser killer satellites, the first thing they do is knock our eyes out or try to hit our other satellites that have weaponized systems on them, like the Grazer, which is a gamma ray weapon, or what's called rods from gods, which are depleted uranium rods. We fire about 35,000 miles an hour toward the ground, and you can't hear the damn thing coming, but when it hits ground, it's a nuclear explosion. So we have prescience in space and have had for some time. At some point, when the Chinese think that they can go further, they will attack. Now, they don't have missile defense either. And the fact is, you know, you wouldn't go into an elevator with a bomb strapped on you and an AK-47 when the other guys getting on the elevator have similar bombs and AK-47s, and you're both stark naked. That's a plan for a Pyrrhic victory of suicide.
Yeah.
So the only thing restraining countries, but there's countries without restraint, especially Muslim countries. They want all the people to die and go to see Allah and get, you know, their 72 virgins and boys with skin like pearls, because pedophilia and pederasty is part of much of Islam, especially in countries like parts of Africa and Afghanistan, where pederasty, which is sex with prepubertal boys, is part of okay stuff for them, which is not okay. But that's, and they also don't mind dying. I mean, they literally even have American Muslims that have been converted to say, yeah, I want to die for Allah. So you're not dealing with the common sense of the Russians or even the Chinese or the Japanese. You're dealing with insanity. The insane behavior, for example, of the Japanese is what curried us to eventually use nuclear weapons on them, because we didn't think they were going to stop. My great uncle actually fought in the war, and he actually received a Medal of Honor for fighting in what's that southern island in Japan?
Okinawa.
Oh yeah, He fought in the Okinawa battle. He got a special
Iwo Jima.
He fought there. Okay. And he said the Japanese were some of the most vicious fighters, and if you became captured by the Japanese, they didn't treat you properly at all. It was disgusting the way they treated the captured. The same way as the North Koreans, when they captured Americans or even South Koreans during the war in the 1950s, and my father was actually about to be recruited there. He was working in Detroit at the time, and some of his buddies went to Vietnam, went to fight in the Korean War, and they didn't come back. So I can tell you, these people, when they decide to go to war, they're not rational. They actually are irrationally crazy. And part of the reason why we use nukes on them is that it's the only thing that would convince the Sun King of Japan, the Emperor of Japan, to say that's enough. We're surrendering. And it's interesting that the places that we actually chose were not typical Japanese population areas. There are populations that were high in Catholics and Christian Japanese. It turns out that Hiroshima was the most Christian area of Japan. Isn't that interesting? Where they dropped a bomb.
Hiroshima, yes.
Right, Hiroshima was very high Christian population, and Catholic and regular Protestant Christian population, which I can't understand the rationality of that, but they did. Now, the first thing we have to convince our overlords is, number one, despite all these things, we need to have a backup. We need to have a backup plan to say, okay, if they do an artillery shell or there looks like a conflict's going to happen, and here's the triggers that will make it happen. Number one, Kim feels emboldened enough after the Olympics that he's going to fire off a airburst nuke, say, in the South China Sea. If he does that, we're going to whack him. Now, I don't think he's got it yet, or his generals have got it yet. We're not going to tolerate that. If he does that, they're going to get hit with space-based weapons and nukes all over his nuclear silo sites and his hotel or his royal complex for him and his generals. They're going to get whacked seriously. And the Chinese have already said if we do it, they're going to interfere. Now, if the Chinese do that, they're going to disappear in an atomic cloud in about 14 minutes. So the Chinese don't get it either yet. There's enough of these old, pre-demented Chinese generals and leaders in the PLA that somehow think, well, you've never done it before, you're not going to do it now. Trump and his generals are not going to back off, just the same way as this deal that's going on between Mr. Schumer wants a narrower deal to deal with immigration and the DACA kids.
Yes.
That's a non-starter. That's not going to go anywhere. Because if we don't deal with this properly, we're going to have DACA 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll have 50 to 100 million more people parking on our doorstep that will become instant citizens in a sense, because places like California give them the right to vote, and they'll be doing so much stuff that will just be mind-boggling, the drug addiction, the violence and everything, and everybody will be armed with the teeth to try to deal with the violence coming to the country. So,
I may just interject one thought here. You've mentioned Guam several times.
Yeah.
But in reality, the last ICBM that North Korea launched on September 15th of 2017 traveled the distance, which was equivalent to the radius of actually hitting Guam.
The trajectory just wasn't in its direction, but it could have easily hit it.
Yes.
So, You know, the what we have to do is convince the powers that be, number one, you have to have a backup plan to stop the artillery shells from hitting Seoul, 10 million dead. You have to have a backup plan to do these other things, but, you know, stuff can happen. So here's the three parts to what I think the deal needs to be. Number one, we need to have on-the-ground testing by an international agency sponsored by the UN, not just America. It needs to have other parties like Chinese and Russians and Japanese parties involved that are on the ground seeing what's going on and making sure things don't proceed. Number two, we need to make sure that there are not other countries there, including Venezuela and Iran, or other, quote, countries waiting to get in the Walmart of North Korea's nuclear escapades, passing technology, or just science observers there watching, so they can leapfrog forward. That's number one. Number two, the second part of the plan is lay out the financial plan to refurbish North Korea. We're not necessarily talking about reunification. That could be 10, 20 years down the road. But we want to have a situation where we stabilize it, because the situation right now is if North Korea does something stupid, we are going to retaliate. Now, the problem is they're going to counter-retaliate with two rockets hitting Seoul, which could kill 10 million people, including 100,000 soldiers. And the danger is that if China's already said publicly, their PLA has said, that if we try to either attack or counterattack North Korea, let's say they blow an air-burst nuclear weapon in the South China Sea, they're going to, quote, block us. Now, blocking us means we're going to be at war with China. And war with China means our ally, Japan, is going to blast the hell out of China. Because if China thinks they have more nukes than Japan, they're delusional.
Yes.
Japan is armed to the eyeballs with nukes, okay?
There's also the possibility that Russia may come on the scene.
Well, Russia, basically, if they have any sense, will be defensive, because although they have advanced bombers, which they tried, these Mach 10 bombers that they've been trying, that's part of the reason why all these booms are happening all over the country, is our high-speed hypersonic bombers and their bombers, and the fact we've got these new Russian missiles called the new Sarmat missiles that they've developed. They used to call the Satan missile, the Sarmat, and these missiles go so damn fast. Our launch time warning time has shrunk from 20 minutes to around 2. We don't have a lot of time to decide when we're going to do a submarine or ground-based launch of nuclear weapons. Because the first place they're going to strike is missile silo territory on U.S. territory in Montana, or, let's say, Idaho. And the second place they're going to do is try to see if they can track and find our submarines under the ocean, which, by the way, they can't, because we can actually, you know, hide them in such a way they can't stop us, which scares the hell out of the Russians. And we have space-based weapon systems, which the Chinese are trying to build, and, you know, satellite-killing weapon systems in space. And you can be guaranteed that we've got countermeasures to that as well. So this is a very bad situation, and I don't see from the behavior of Trump or Pence or the government that they're fully aware of the layers they have to do here. They need to get this to the United Nations immediately to have ground-based evaluation while we're talking. So we need to have reports coming out, hey, this is what they're doing, this is what's going on at a certain level in their missile silos 2 miles down or 1 mile down, this is beyond the range of our bunker buster nukes, this is the kind of missiles that they've been working on, or warheads, these are the observers here from which countries. We need to know this, and it should be public information. Number two, we need to have a financial plan that's laid out, and they have to, besides the financial plan, you've got to have also what I call a post-war plan, where we're not going to prosecute for murdering their own citizens, which they are, or for persecuting them or putting them in prison or executing them. Because if they think that they're in jeopardy, just like, you know, like Muammar Gaddafi was in jeopardy of being killed in the back of a truck after he cooperated with us and put away his weapons and missiles and everything and got killed, Kim Jong's not an idiot, okay? You have to assume the guy is to some extent, a dark genius. And he knows from the history of their country that if he surrenders a certain level of technology, he's going to end up dead. Now, the man's not stupid, so he needs to have some confirmations that if we're going to rebuild the country, we're not going to put him in the ground.
Exactly.
And if he doesn't know that, and his generals don't know that, and see, this is why, in fact, his greatest danger isn't America or China. His greatest generals is his own generals and his own relatives who think, Kim, if you're putting us in more danger, we're going to do ya. We're going to poison you in your sleep, or we're going to stab you or whatever in the throat, or we're going to do something. So you got to understand, it's not just Kim Jong-un, it's the generals all around him that may think their lifespan is significantly shortened if he even makes a deal. So
yeah,
that needs to be part of the whole thing besides the financial plan. And then the third layer is we need missile defense really fast. Like, I put up my missile defense system, and I have no response back from the government. The laser net interferometry system will not take 10 years. It can be done in a matter of months. It basically puts on small plasma rockets through a launching system called the Gerald Bull Linear Accelerator Cannons. You can have a bunch of cannons around the country buried deep enough you can't get at them. And these cannons could fire off small micro rockets with no signature before they go into near space. They can then put up laser nets to grab anything coming into near space, so we'd be, and our allies, completely impervious to nuclear attack. Now, nuclear weapons are going to start proliferating, and it's not just nuclear weapons. You can make a drone. Now, listen to this. I can order a $1,000 drone, right, built in America. I can put in a small micronuke the size of a baseball on the damn thing, or a chemical or biological weapon, and fly it in under radar, and you won't even know the damn thing's coming, and it can kill thousands or millions of people. So the problem is we're dealing with a new kind of warfare. Even things like remote-operated battlefield warrior robots. Do you know who's done the most advanced battlefield warrior robots besides us? South Korea. You should see the robot that they built. It's like 25 feet tall. You have a remote warrior operating 1,500 miles away, operating inside this big robot warrior that looks like, you know, one of those kids' movies. It's the other, you know, like the, you know, these robot guys arrive from space. They have it now, the South Koreans. And people don't know how that's, the wars of the future will not be human fighting human. It'll be human being eaten or destroyed by remote drones with autonomous AI, artificial intelligence, or remote warriors operate 50 or 100 or 1,000 miles away.
Yep.
And that's where that's the future coming. So we have to start anticipating that we have to build defenses, but we also have to build a plan to say, hey, Kim, we can work out peace. We can all make nice now. Yeah, you killed a pile of people, but how about we forget all that and we just move forward and try to give your people high-speed rail, food that they can eat doesn't have worms in it, and you guys can build your economy. But we're going to monitor every damn thing you're doing so you don't proliferate. It's not just you with the damn nukes. It's every sawed-off country in the world that doesn't like America or the global system we have, whichever global system tends to arrive. Right now we have to build a multipolar global world. Now, the unipolar world, which is by the banks and America and the West, the fact is now Russia and China are rising, and other countries like Brazil and the BRICS nation and the
yep,
rest of the world are in financial warfare, and physical war is just a consequence of not coming to a financial deal. And some of the people you have to deal with, like if we had worked on a deal with, say, Adolf Hitler before World War II, a lot of people wouldn't have died. There could have been a deal worked up, but we didn't. The same way as we could have worked on a deal with Russia, so the Cold War wouldn't happen. Thank God nothing happened, because they were terrified that we had weapon systems, which we did, a lot more dangerous than nukes. The problem is now we have, you know, rogue nations that basically, like the Muslim nations, don't give a crap. They want to die and go to Allah. Okay? That's what's particularly dangerous. So, you know, we don't want Muslim countries, for example, like Iran and the mullahs, thinking, hey, these idiots, the Iranian mullahs, actually started to put missile silos and have the S-300 anti-aircraft system across in Syria. Really bad idea, because, you know, I guarantee you some of these Iranian scientists are standing inside these silos a mile or underground looking at exactly what the Koreans are doing, and they're not stupid people. They're leapfrogging forward with technology. And if they try to attack Israel, Israel can take out anybody. They can take out the States or Russia or China, no problemo. In fact, it's easier to defend a small territory attacking a big territory than the other way around. And so a small, powerful nation like Israel can flatten a large nation like Europe or Russia easy. And people don't get that, do they?
No, they don't. We have a dilemma with proliferation, and this nuclear proliferation is going to get worse unless we can deal with North Korea immediately.
Right. You see, in fact, the main thing is we don't want them to become the nuclear Walmart. How's that?
Yeah, that's a good terminology.
Nuclear Walmart. You know, hey, everything's for sale. Crazy. Yeah. Comments you made on the break that I think is very relevant is we have a pretty good audience. We have probably, you know, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, per week that listen to the show or watch the videos and so on. And it's broadcast out through our Deagle Network to all different platforms: Patreon, Spreaker, BitChute, Dailymotion, Apple, iPad, Listen, and other apps. So it's not just one or two platforms. The problem is, I'm sure that when they listen to various aspects of the show, because I can see from some of the behavior of the Trump administration, they're listening in terms of whether it's financial issues. For example, I've recommended that Trump stop trying to take credit for the stock market, because the stock market's only generated by that song from Dire Straits, "Money for Nothing in the Check." Instead of chicks, I changed it to "Checks Are Free." Okay.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So what he's done is he's made a very massive mistake by listening to Mnuchin and other people that are part of the establishment and the New World Order. And what he should do is the same thing as what Reagan recommended with the help of Lyndon LaRouche. If we do develop a missile defense system, we should share it with our potential enemies. Because we need to make all missile warfare obsolete. And that includes artillery shell warfare from tube rockets that comes in, because this system could be modified to be a ground-based system to catch missiles in midair so they can't hit their target in Seoul. So that's actually relatively simple. You can do the same thing with bullets. I worked out an idea of how to make a bullet system so the Mandalay Bay massacre wouldn't have happened, and how to actually use high-speed supercomputers to actually track and intercept bullets in the air. So that if you're in a battlefield or if you're in the higher ground, like the, obviously from the Mandalay Bay, you're shooting down in a crowd and you can stop that. The same thing could be used in battlefield to stop missiles coming in, whether they're Tomahawk missiles or battlefield drones or whatever. You can intercept them using the same kind of technology. And we have to start thinking of that, because if we share it with our potential enemies, we'll put away our guns and decide to actually, as it says in the front of the United Nations building, there'll be a day coming when we will hammer our weapons of warfare into plowshares. I mean, that's right in front of the UN building, but they don't really take it seriously yet, do they?
No, they don't. That's the point. At Mandalay Hotel in Las Vegas, where the tragic shooting occurred, there's going to be similar incidents like that occurring both in America and
okay. It doesn't need to happen. I have already invented the components of a system right now, and I've been talking about for ever since Mandalay Bay happened. I prayed and God gave me the answer what to do. And the technology would completely, whether it's a battlefield or high ground trying to shoot people in a massive massacre like this. And you got to understand, the same thing could be used to intercept terrorism. We have machines that they use already in the airports in Germany, not just dogs that can smell sniffer dogs, but actually machines that are cost $1 million plus. They can intercept one or two molecules of a potential explosive or toxic chemical and intervene and tell you the exact location of where that's coming from. So we need to start using high tech. We need to start using things like sniffer drones and other things that can actually pick up where terrorists are or potential issues are, and intercepting what I call pre-crime. That's why I believe that the new Mr. Ray, the new director of the FBI, could use metadata, money and medical drugs, and intercept pre-crime individuals and groups so it doesn't happen. And we need to start spreading this technology to other countries so that they're not targets of terrorism either. Because it's not just an American problem, it's a world problem. It's a future problem where AI systems, including artificially intelligent drones and robots, are going to start ruling over us within 10 to 15 years if we don't watch it.
Yes.
And people don't get this. I mean, they don't understand. We're on the knife's edge right now. It's better for us to share defense systems with our potential enemies so nobody starts a war.
Yes. And for those of you that did not listen in last week, we discussed a proposal for a deal with North Korea.
And I got a chemical wrong, which I'm going to correct on air as well. I talked about ammonium, I think it was nitrate or something, it's actually ammonium sulfate.
Ammonium sulfate is the correct...
right, and that's used for extraction, but I recommended another technology, which is basically what's called a harmonic resonant plasma centrifuge, which actually would pull the atomic resonant minerals out of the stream of the very finely ground coal, so it would pull off these strategic minerals like lithium and other strategic minerals. And by the way, it's interesting, the very minerals we're talking about could create what's called Higgs boson fields, which are anti-gravitonic fields, and using the same principles as Archimedes' principles, you can create jets and vehicles that don't have wheels. Where flying cars are basically are cars that don't have to have wheels and are literally not touching the ground, like the Star Wars vehicles you see in the Star Wars movies and so on. I know how to make the Higgs boson fields, which are right from the technology used by the Society of the Bell that the Germans had when they built the Vimana, the ancient resurrection of the Vimana, and the German military and the Air Force did have disc-shaped flying objects. It uses the what's called the Society of the Bell Higgs boson field with plasma forms of circulating mercury plasma to create a boundary zone between gravitons and create an anti-gravitonic effect. It's actually relatively simple. I mean, you create a boundary zone, and you get an anti-gravity effect. It's easy. And you can actually, and these vehicles don't push themselves forward. They literally pull themselves forward by creating a gravitonic vacuum in front of them. That's how they fly.
That's very interesting. I better not discuss too much about my experiences related to UFOs at this time. I'm just trying to establish my credibility regarding...
Right, well, basically, 5% of the UFOs up there are non-human. And the other 95% are human-based on technology. We have some of them going back tens of thousands of years to ancient India and so on. There's an area of India where you can actually go and the tourists will sell you trinkets from a previous nuclear war where there's an area of 10,000 square miles south of Bombay, India, where you can find a basically glass created by a nuclear weapon that struck and turned everything like giant elephants into the atomic vapor. You know,
so they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, and the Indians all know this. I mean, they sell you trinkets, right? Oh, yeah, you sell you this trinket from nuclear war. They knew about this. It's already in the Vimana and their Upanishads and the ancient documents and books that are passed down through tens of thousands of years in India. They're not stupid.
Right.
But the Westerners are. They don't believe in any of this stuff. They don't believe that there was a nuclear war. But, yes, there was.
But, Dr. Siegel, we have to remind our audience that our immediate dilemma is based on the fact that Washington does not have adequate intelligence, and when you don't have adequate intelligence, you cannot make intelligent decisions. So,
exactly. I call it I squared G, or Q. The first thing they need to do is, number one, we are in danger, and we can be struck with an EMP weapon or a nuclear weapon or biological chemical weapon. Number two, we need to start sharing whatever missile defense systems with our potential enemies. And number three, we need the United Nations immediately to start on the ground monitoring, not just of what they're doing in North Korea, but who's watching and learning from what they're doing. Like, you know, Venezuela and Iran. Iran's latest action in the last few days is very friggin' scary. And the Israelis aren't going to put up with it. I mean, if they try to put a missile battery in Syria, which is on the back doorstep, most people don't know the geology there or the geography. Damascus, Syria is 10 miles from the Israeli border. Damascus is 10 minutes in a bowl. And it talks about this in the Bible, and I've had prophetic scholars on the show over the years. And, you know, someday it says that, that Damascus will become a ruinous heap that for hoot owls and wild animals. That's because at some point in the future, it's going to get nuked.
Well,
it's the longest continuously lived city on Earth, is Damascus, Syria.
Yeah. Well, according to my intelligence, those weapons have been deployed in Syria for several years now.
You're talking about nukes. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Most people aren't aware that the Israelis have actually put nukes in the capital of every major country on Earth in their capital city already. So the Israelis have the Samson option, okay? It's not just nukes coming in from their own weapon systems. They have ImageSat, their own satellite-based weapon system in space, and the ImageSat system they have is as good or better than ours. So the Israelis are no slouches. So anybody attacking Israel might as well kiss their their tush behind goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, because you attack Israel, you're going to die. I don't care if you're a Russia or China, you're going to disappear in atomic dust. And it's not just missiles coming in. There are no slouches in terms of missile defense systems. Most of the money we're putting into missile defense right now is going directly to the Israeli budget to build Iron Dome and other systems to protect them, including plasma-based weapon systems to vaporize a missile coming in with a Tesla weapon. So, guess what? When your enemy is on your doorstep, you're totally aware, and the Israelis are. We're not yet aware now. We're in danger from North Korea, and they are doing things that they're very jumpy and nervous. But the Chinese haven't yet caught on to the fact that they're in vital danger. If they allow something to get out of control, they'll disappear as well in an atomic vapor, and we'll have a nuclear war.
Well, let's hope that we can get the word to work.
Yeah, so we got to tell Kim, yes, you can go visit Disneyland. We're not going to kill you, but we want to look at all your weapons and denuclearize you. We're going to defang you, Kim. But you can make lots of money and buy lots of cars and... maybe you can go on a diet or get plastic surgery and lose all that weight, too.
Have you checked your Google?
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.